Okay, and we arrive at the bitter end. Thank you all for hanging around. My name is Carl Ensign. I am Director of Evaluation at ASTO, and I also really should have put Allison Mendoza-Walter's name up on this because she helped with the coding. She isn't here today. She had to leave early, and Katie Sellers was instrumental, too, in leading this. Nothing to disclose, but in the interest of full disclosure, ASTO is a membership organization, as Rivka's alluded to. We represent the state and territorial health officials, and we do partially underwrite the strategic mapping process led by Tim Fallon, whose work I will present our qualitative analysis on. So we don't, benefit from that in any commercial sense, but ASTO is kind of wedded to the strategic mapping process, and we thought it would be a good idea to do an analysis of it. So here I am. So my objectives today are to describe the strategic mapping process, exactly what it is, undertaken by TSI Inc., the primary components of strategic maps, the qualitative content analysis we conducted of these maps, and I also wanted to add, since I did this at Keeneland, we've developed in draft form a strategic planning guide, and we've entered into discussions with states and territories, and so we have just their insights on what they're grappling with kind of real time. And I think what really has emerged is this qualitative analysis is a good grounding. It gave us a lay of the land. It was our SWOT, if you will, our strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats, about what states and territories were faced with, what they were planning to do over the coming 3 years, and helped us ground our strategic planning toolkit in those lessons learned. I also want to say that we kind of set out doing this strategic planning toolkit under, I should mention, funding provided by CDC through the Affordable Care Act. We are one of five national partners providing capacity building assistance under what's called the NIFI project, National Public Health Improvement Initiative. This is a capacity building instrument we developed for that, so I should mention that funding as well. In the midst of looking at strategic planning processes and how we could be of most use to states, I found that NACHO has done some really excellent work in this. So we didn't want to reinvent the wheel. Lori Call from the Illinois Public Health Institute, it's available on the NACHO website, has a very good strategic planning toolkit. And so we looked at that and tried to think of how distinctively we could make a strategic planning toolkit of use to states and territories. Okay. So we're going to go through the qualitative content analysis we undertook of the strategic maps, really what states are grappling with now is the role of strategic planning in relation to the accreditation prerequisites. Strategic planning is one of the three prerequisites, so we'll talk about that as well, kind of lessons from the field. So what is strategic mapping? Those of us who have been involved with strategic planning know that it can go on and on forever, much like bad presentations sometimes. Folks can sit around a table and get very wrapped up in the visioning process, and it may or may not ever see the light of day. So the strategic mapping process really focuses on formulating a good enough plan so that we can move quickly to implementation and then revisit and make needed adjustments along the way. It rests on an abbreviated SWOT. It looks at strengths, weaknesses, and areas for improvement. And in terms of setting future direction, it looks at tactics and norms, a strategy, a mission and vision, and develops a strategic map which prioritizes certain tracks of work that the organization focuses on. So before we get into the content analysis, I just want to highlight what the primary components of the strategic map are. So I forgot my pointer, but up here we have a central challenge, which is arrived at through a group process of breaking into groups and kind of identifying key themes, and then focusing in on a central challenge, which is really another word for vision, strategic priorities, which are kind of maybe analogous to what Rivka was talking about, appear there in the blue boxes. The objectives that need to be accomplished in order to achieve those strategic priorities, and cross-cutting strategic priorities along the bottom. ASCO has its own strategic map. This is ours, so I'm just throwing it up there as an example to show the different components that we conducted a qualitative analysis on. For this qualitative analysis, it's limited. It's only 16 strategic maps that have been developed thus far for state public health agencies. So that is a limiting factor. And of course, all these strategic maps are developed by one firm, so there may be some inherent bias there. The time frame we looked at were strategic maps developed for state public agencies from 2008, in which only one was really developed, to 2012, in which six were developed. Each of those has a three-year time frame, so we're talking about activities that states will be focusing on and priorities from the year 2011 to 2015. We adapted the grounded theory approach. We developed codes for the central challenges, strategic priorities, objectives. We looked at a small number of maps, two people coded independently. We looked at themes. We tried to look at keywords. From that, we backed into a coding framework. We compared our notes, made changes appropriately, and then set about coding another limited number of maps, looking at our inter-rater reliability, which is actually pretty high. I don't recall it right off the top of my head, making some final needed adjustments, and then proceeding with the coding of all the plans. Okay, so what did we find in terms of central challenges? It was good from an evaluation standpoint that when we boiled it down to the primary things which rose to the fore, that achieving measurable progress was a vision and mission of a total of eight state public health agencies. By the way, if one of these central challenges, objectives, or priorities which we coded fell into more than one category, we went ahead and coded it within both categories. So, for instance, achieve health improvements and reduce disparities was one such central challenge that we coded as achieving measurable progress. Behind that, benchmarks were set. Another theme that emerged was positioning the public health agency as a leader. It was thought, and this played into another theme we'll talk about later, that public health was poorly understood, wasn't good at communicating what it did, was kind of a mishmash of services. So trying to make sense of that and reiterate its leading role in protecting and promoting health, that emerged as a key theme. These plans were developed during a time when physical outlook was changing dramatically. And so much of the plans are focused on responding to a changing environment, responding to those challenges. Kind of two themes emerged when we looked at that. One was sort of agility or responsiveness. So thinking about the public health agency and kind of reinventing it as one that could more quickly and efficiently take on new issues as they emerged, respond to emergencies, that sort of thing. Or the other was think proactively about their distinctive role within the world and how they could begin to control their environment to a certain extent. In terms of strategic priorities, these are strategic plans, so it's perhaps not important, not surprising, I'm sorry, that much of it was focused on the basic public health infrastructure and what could be done in terms of core functions, functioning, continuing to improve administrative processes, work on those, streamline them, make them more efficient. Secondly, funding emerged as a key strategic priority in the vast majority of maps. This fell along the lines of either aligning existing funding, which was a little bit less, or acquiring new resources. Aligning existing funding really talked about taking an inventory of all programs and administrative functions, what the priorities were within the public health agency, and whether or not funding was aligned with those priorities or differed from that. And so I'm talking about the second one first up there. If there were differences, then there was talk about perhaps shifting resources to focus better on core public health functions and priorities. A secondary focus, actually the primary focus, I'm sorry, going up to the top one, was acquiring new resources. And there was thought that really needed to dedicate staff to going after revenue enhancements, such as Medicaid, going after grants, perhaps funding groups across agency functions, to look strategically at what types of grants it would be good to go after and which were just too small and burdensome to bother with. There was also some talk that sometimes the small grants aren't always worth it, quite frankly, at a state health agency. This was an interesting theme. Communicate the value of public health externally. This talked about the fact that public health is siloed and doing a lot of different things, and there's an internal collaboration piece we'll talk about later in the objectives. But the people didn't really know where they fit within the broader scheme of public health. Public health wasn't good at communicating what it did, and certainly the general public and policymakers and funders did not understand the value of public health. So some of this revolved around using data better, calculating return on investment. Some of it was just finding an organizing theme and figuring out how everyone fit into that and making sure that everyone, as one or two maps talked about, had the correct talking points to talk about public health when they were asked externally to do that. And then a lot of specific projects made into the strategic priorities, continuing to focus on immunization or what have you. Objectives pretty much mirrored, and again, remember, objectives form the bulk of the strategic map. They appear in white. We wanted to look across all those to see if any other themes emerged. Not really, other than workforce development, which didn't rise to the fore too much in the strategic priorities, was a big theme across objectives. So that had to do with, in some cases, an aging workforce where we needed succession planning, funding cuts where positions were being cut and needing to plan strategically around that. Also just kind of core training on functions and that sort of thing, career ladders. There was some work on internships, working with schools of public health to kind of develop entry-level skills. So workforce development is a primary theme. We've already kind of talked about resources, better aligning existing resources, acquiring new resources, the internal public health infrastructure, we've talked about that. Two themes emerged with internal collaboration and external communication. There wasn't very much, there was a little bit, but not very much external collaboration where this public health agency really thought strategically about making new alliances. That did emerge. I don't have the numbers with me. I apologize. It was way further down the list. What did emerge was that theme that we talked about earlier was external communication, so kind of getting a clear understanding of what the public health agency was about, what their priorities were, and being able to communicate that externally with outside entities in a better manner. Internal collaboration was a primary theme, and that was just a nod to the fact that we tend to do our work in a very siloed manner, and we need to, with new grants, new grant opportunities, changes in the external world in terms of ACA and just other things that are coming down the pike, do a much better job of staffing strategically across our silos and entering into internal collaborative efforts. Program-specific, I didn't really have too much to add, don't have too much to add there. Better utilize data, work on health information systems, data automation. That emerged as a theme, although fairly far down the list, quite frankly. So what are the implications from this? State public health agencies are using strategic maps to work towards achieving outcomes in a challenging environment. It would be interesting, actually, I don't know if there would be enough strategic maps to do this, but kind of do an overlay with what Rivka talked about, for instance, where you have changes in leadership and see if an existing strategic map that has been bought into by the state public health agency is okayed by the incoming administrator. It's something I hadn't really thought of. But that could provide maybe some of the explanation for why there was some continuity or lack of direct association between changes in leadership and changes in priorities, as she explained it. Most emphasis is placed on internal work, focusing on infrastructure and workforce development. Again, this is a strategic plan. Often strategic plans are kind of focused internally, but not always. I do need to mention that when we discussed this finding with Fallon and associates, they kind of try to steer public health agencies towards focusing only one of their strategic priorities on the external world, and maybe the rest, if you remember the strategic priorities of those blue boxes, on working internally. So there may be just some bias there the way they approach it. Developing the value of public health, communicating this to the general public, talked about that. Developing new sources of revenue, internal collaboration, introducing and using data, and secondary emphasis on developing partnerships and collaborations. I only have 5 minutes, so I want to get quickly into a strategic planning guide that we then developed at ASTO based on this work. We looked at the literature, we looked at NATO's work, and we identified seven kind of distinct processes that are involved with strategic planning, thinking about who you want to have involved with this planning effort, assessing your external environment, defining your mission, values, and goals, developing a strategy, and that is really thinking about how the plan will be implemented in out years. You're going to have a performance management system, as we do at ASTO, residing behind the strategic map, thinking through your key time frames for achieving all this so you can stay within accreditation requirements, develop and implement the strategic plan, evaluate how it's doing, revise as necessary, and kind of do that in an iterative cycle. So let me just say that when we talked and developed our strategic planning model, we talked a lot with states who had done this, and we found just a variety of approaches and depth to strategic plans. They were really all over the place. So kind of a thousand flowers are blooming in that regard. What they did say is what works best is when leadership realizes the power of strategic planning. If your leaders aren't on board, it's really not going to go anywhere. And we seem to have two models, leadership either having prior experience with strategic planning in a prior capacity and bringing that to the public health agency, or through networking with colleagues, especially if you're a new show state health official, there are opportunities for networking with your new incoming colleagues, as well as those with more experience, realizing that this is a way you can place your imprint on the public health agency if you develop a strategic plan. So often the impetus came from the very top. Folks said it was important to get away from the office, focus on this intensively, have an external facilitator, and make it real time. Don't spend forever doing it. Really, when we talked with them, what they are focusing on is how to align, as accreditation requires, your community health assessment with your community health improvement plan with your strategic plan. So what I've done is kind of a diagram here of how the community health assessment is really meant to go across the entire array of folks that are involved with public health in one way or another and do a broad-based assessment of the status of community health. FAB defines this as a systematic examination of health status indicators for a given population that is used to identify key problems and assets within a community. From that, a community is to develop strategies to address health needs, identify issues, et cetera, et cetera. I got you. This is the last slide. Then the community health improvement plan is what you do about that assessment. Long-term systemic effort to address plan problems based on the CHA and CHIP process. Critical for developing policies, defining actions. The strategic plan, and each one of these is a prerequisite for accreditation. The strategic plan is this public health's distinct role in the delivery of this vision. So some states already have a strategic plan, if you will. They are in the process of realigning, if they're interested in accreditation, with their existing CHA and CHIP. Others that are kind of starting from scratch can do that. The real question is if these are happening at a local level, Is there a roll-up of individual CHAs and CHIPs into a strategic plan vision, or is there a separate state CHA or CHIP? So states are kind of grappling with all this, and FAB is not being prescriptive in what states do in that regard. And that's it for me. Thanks very much. Yeah.